Our scripture lesson for the day, we're doing actually a New Testament and Old Testament lesson. The gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, reading verses 1 through 12 and 35 through 38. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believed." And he worshiped him. And the Old Testament lesson for today is the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are on this fourth Sunday of Lent, the second Sunday of the coronavirus, and it's still weird for all of us. I know a month ago things were normal. We were well oriented to our lives. And now so much is different. We are disoriented. Staying home really changes your perspective on life. Right now, here in North Carolina, we're not on a strict lockdown as my daughter's family is in San Francisco or folks are in New York. So we can still get out and go to the grocery store and do takeout from restaurants. But that day is probably coming here in the next few weeks. One of the funny things I saw recently is that we're probably all 3 weeks away from knowing everybody's true hair color. Which is true, and it's actually kind of fun leading worship on radio because you guys can't see how I look. I feel like pretty soon my hair is going to get really long, like, you know, back to my rock and roll days, you know, with a mullet. Y'all haven't seen me like that, but it's great. But just so you can visualize, again, this Sunday I'm wearing my black robe, and I have the purple stole for Lent. And yes, I could wear anything, and you wouldn't know, but wearing the robe makes me feel, you know, more like a preacher today. And honestly, I need all the help I can get. And so even though the sanctuary is just about empty, just, you know, there's Tanner over here on the liturgy and Ivy playing piano and Dan running the soundboard and Harry and Bob are here. You know, it's good to be here. And I just say to the Trinity folks, we really do miss you all. You know, we miss Aubrey in his Clemson sweater and the scary women on the back row back there. We miss everybody. And we hope, we can't wait to where we all together again. But I want to tell you something that happened this week. I was, many times over the past year, I've thought of deactivating my Facebook account because it's just gotten so much really, really divisive and bitter stuff on there, and just people have been really ugly to each other this year. But the reason I've kept it is because it's one way to stay in touch with friends, you know, from churches I've been at and like youth group kids who are now like grown up and married and stuff. And so it's just one way. I try to say happy birthday to everybody. That's one of my little things every day. If I know them, I'll say happy birthday to them. And I was scrolling down on Facebook, and I've started noticing it's gotten, in the last 2 weeks, it's gotten warmer. It's gotten friendlier. It's gotten more caretaking, I would say, and less bitter. And then I saw this video, which I don't click on many of them, but there's this video of two musicians that I really like, Amy Ray and Emily Salyers, and they're also known as the Indigo Girls, and they were in a living room playing their guitars and singing. And so like I clicked on it, and there they were, and it sounded so good. And let me tell you, from the point of view of being a musician who records, it's hard to sound good when you're just in a living room and, you know, you don't have reverb and, you know, effects like compression and, you know, pitch correction and stuff. And they sounded really good. It made me appreciate what great musicians they were. And I was trying to look at the chords they were doing on guitar and figure them out. And they had a producer in there, and the producer was kind of telling them that people, you know, it's a Facebook concert, so people were writing little notes and everything. Of course, everybody loved them. But this one woman wrote in that she had taken her stereo speakers outside and was blasting it on her front porch to her neighborhood, and that everybody came out on their front porches, and they were all singing along with the Indigo Girls. You know, and I don't know if that would have happened a month ago. But there they were trying to do something, and they heard that, and they said, okay, we're going to do some sing-along. So they did Closer to Fine and Galileo, which if you don't know them, you don't, that'll mean anything to you, but those are great songs. And I just thought, you know, there's some good things happening here. People are having these instincts. And I want to look at our scripture lessons for today and kind of give you an idea of what kind of prompted me to do what I'm doing. The actual lectionary reading, that I try to follow the lectionary so that I don't just preach my greatest hits all the time. So the lectionary readings are assigned scriptures, and you have a choice between Old Testament, Psalm, Gospel, and Epistle. And so I went to the Gospel lesson, and that's usually I do the Gospel. And it was an entire chapter of the Gospel of John. It was John, chapter 9, and it was a whole lot. It was all this controversy with the Pharisees. And to be fair, you know, when the people did the lectionary readings 3 years ago, they didn't know this pandemic was coming, but it was not a really good scripture for a pandemic, I don't think. And then I thought, man, I may have to just pick my own scripture today. And I thought, well, I'll look up and see what the Old Testament was. And man, there it was, the 23rd Psalm. What a great scripture for this time in our lives. And I want to say something about, I say this at Christmas a lot, and I'll say it at Easter. These scriptures that are so familiar to us, it's easy sometimes to just kind of check out, go, yeah, I know it, I could probably recite it. But the big difference is that we are different right now. It's like with every script, you can't put your foot in the same river twice. You can't hear the same scripture the same way twice, because the last time you heard it, your life and my life was different. So I want to go through the 23rd Psalm, and, you know, you can almost say it with me. The verse 1, it's just 6 verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Man, isn't that great for today? Now, when we start with the Lord being our shepherd, that means that we are sheep. So it is helpful to know something about what sheep are actually like. And their reputation is that they're pretty dumb and slow. But I talked to Norrin Sanford, who's raising sheep at his farm up in Wagram that's called Growing Change, and he said that that is an unfair characterization of sheep that he has at first hand from our liturgist here, Tanner Capps, who grew up tending sheep, right, Tanner?
Showing sheep.
All right, showing sheep. So he's a sheep expert. There are a lot of jokes about sheep, but we won't tell those today. And what Tanner said is that sheep aren't stupid. They're just skeptical. That sheep are skeptical. They won't go where the shepherd wants them to go because they think they probably know better. So when we factor that into our first verse here, it really does sound like us. We are skeptical too, aren't we? We are in charge of our own lives. We don't even acknowledge the shepherd is here. We're so focused on making sure that we're stocked up on all the supplies and toilet paper. We forget that the Lord is with us, protecting us, guiding us, making sure that we don't want for anything we need. One of the translations of that verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." And in scary times like these, that is such a message of grace and good news. God's hand is in this and is holding on to you and your family and those you love. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Just like the sheep, we're skeptical. We think we know better, so God has to make us lay down in places that will nurture us. And I'm thinking this whole slowdown in our lives is exactly this, whether we want to acknowledge the shepherd or not. God is making us lie down in green pastures. We're at home now. We're resting more. We're washing more. We're talking to each other more. We're getting back to a lifestyle that bygone generations had. And even though we resist and we push back on it, it's good for us. It's nurturing. God is making us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I've heard that sheep will not drink from fast-moving rivers. It's a protection mechanism. If they fell in, they would be swept away. So to get them to drink, the shepherd has to lead them to a place where the water is still, and there they will drink it. Again, the amazing love of God that leads us to places where we are willing to drink knows us so well that he can bring us to places that do us good, leads us beside the still waters. And then just to sum up, he restores my soul. If you focus on the word restores, why do we need to be restored? Because our souls get tapped out. We get weary. We get tired. We get stressed. All this running around trying to get supplies and food and soap and Clorox wipes. We get worn out. We lose sleep. We stop exercising. Our souls start to suffer from it. But the Lord restores us, brings us back to normal. It's a wonderful thing. God cares enough about you and me to know when we need green pastures and still waters to drink from. God restores our souls. And then to summarize this first section, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God guides us during times like these. He leads us down the right paths because he is God and he wants us to trust him. And then we get to the really cool section. The pronoun here changes. I don't know if you ever noticed this. The pronoun changes from he to you. It was he leads me in all this, and then all of a sudden it starts to be you. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You probably saw the press conference where a reporter asked President Trump what he would say to the American people who were scared right now. And President Trump took offense at that question. So yesterday, a different journalist wrote a piece that answered the question for President Trump because a lot of people really are actually afraid right now. And here's part of what he wrote. Dear America, I know how scared you are. I'm scared too. I know how terrifying this is. I'm as terrified as you are. A few days ago, we woke up in a different world than the one we closed our eyes to the night before. Nothing about it seems the same as it was. Nothing about it feels recognizable. It all seems unreal. I know how exhausted you are from trying to absorb so much information, to try and cut through the swirling chaos and press conferences and talking heads and tweets to figure out what is true and what is fabrication, especially because your life depends on it. I know how difficult it is to adjust to the ever-changing restrictions, the interruptions of the daily rhythms of your life, the disorienting newness of every hour. It feels like you can't get your feet onto solid bedrock anymore, like nothing is stable, like you're standing in shifting sand. Now, the article goes on for a bit more, you know, talks about our 401ks are plummeting in value and we're losing our jobs and we're not sure where the money's going to come from. And I think he touches on a lot about what we've been seeing and doing and feeling right now. And that says it, I think, like we're standing in shifting sand. For the first time maybe in our lives, we're feeling something we've never really felt before, fear. We feel afraid now. We feel disoriented too, on shifting sand like we've lost our way. We need someone to comfort us, calm us, someone to guide us and give us peace. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If we were ever walking through a dark valley, this is it, right? This time of coronavirus. And I know you remember the King James Version. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's what we're walking through right now. We're hearing a lot about death. How many people in Italy died today, broke a record? How many died in New York, in the U.S., in the world? We may even personally know people who die from this virus. And yet, here's this wonderful psalm speaking to us right where we are. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. He's talking about fear. I'll fear no evil, he says. Why? Why won't I fear evil? I fear no evil because you are with me. That's the whole thing right there. God is with us. And because God is with us, we won't fear. Your rod and your staff, the tools the shepherd uses to guide the sheep as they walk, they comfort me. God's ability and power to guide us through the dark valley, helping us to stay on the right path, that brings comfort. So, wow, you can see in that one verse, we go from fear to comfort that fast. I fear no evil, for you comfort me. And that is where I see this scripture really intersecting with us this week. All this uncertainty, all this disorientation, where even the experts say they don't know what is going to happen, where this is going to go. That uncertainty, that disorientation makes us uneasy and it makes us afraid. And the psalmist says, even though we're walking in deep darkness, we will fear no evil because we know that the shepherd with his rod and staff will guide us to safety. The psalmist says to God, I know you're with me, so I don't fear. Actually, you know, it goes back to Christmas again. Emmanuel, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Nothing can happen to us that doesn't come through the shepherd's hands. So with the Lord leading us, the Lord at our side, our shepherd, we go from being disoriented to being reoriented. He is with us. And the fear goes away. Okay, the last two verses, and they're great, 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. In the dead center middle of all this darkness and doom, we hear the psalmist say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, there's some awful things happening. That will continue. But with all the threat of the germ all around us, intimidating us, God prepares a banquet for us. There is nurture and nourishment here, even in the midst of the pandemic. And then comes this most amazing passage. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And, you know, I've always thought of this as a meaning that, you know, like God will bless us all of our lives. But today I see a second meaning that is just as powerful. When I first got here from Georgia and started working out in Laurel Hill on the family property, part of what it was we had timber tracts of longleaf pine. And I found out very quickly that pine is a fire-dependent species. In other words, you have to burn the ground around the pine tree to make it really grow well. And it used to happen naturally because it didn't have roads and the lightning would strike and start a fire and it would burn from Texas up to Virginia. But now we've got all these barriers and we suppress fires. And so landowners that have timber tracts have to burn. You have to do it every year. There are whole companies that all they do is do control burns, and the key word is controlled, control burns. But what happens is you have all these pine needles and leaves and sticks, and they're around the pine tree, and if you let them build up too high, then you have a big fire later that burns up the pine trees. And so every year or two, you do these control burns. And it's right about now you'll see these burns going on. And so what they do is they burn the pine straw and the leaves and the twigs. It turns to ash, and then the rain comes, and that ash goes back. It returns all those nutrients to the soil. And so after the fire goes through, within a week or two, it becomes this lush, green forest floor. All this wiregrass goes crazy and grows, and it becomes so green after the fire goes through. And that's the image that I woke up with this morning. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that means, you know, I've always thought maybe this meant God will bless you all your life. But the second meaning is that it will follow you. Goodness and mercy follows you. In other words, everywhere you go, it's like flowers popping up behind you, that God will bless people. People will be blessed. Goodness and mercy will follow you because of all of God's nurture to you, making you lie down in green pastures and leading you beside the still waters. You are full and you are hydrated, and so you can become a blessing to other people the rest of your life. Everywhere you go, goodness and mercy will sprout up. It's just like that control burn. Everywhere that fire passes through becomes lush with vegetation. And everywhere you go, goodness and mercy sprout up. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Have you seen the cool things that are happening? Kids are writing messages of hope with chalk on their streets and mailboxes. And as Janie said, people are turning on Christmas lights. You know, the Indigo Girls doing a free concert in their living room. I also saw Al Di Meola and Chick Corea. They did it on their fantastic jazz musicians. Okay, it was good for me. It may not be great for y'all, but they were great, so I loved it. But maybe that's part of the goodness and mercy. We're all united right now. Everybody is on the same footing. Famous people, incredibly talented people, everyday people. We're all stuck indoors. We're all wondering about the future. And we can all offer something to each other that is goodness and mercy. But we have to keep our spirits up, folks. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And we have to focus on the great things. So, there is grace here, but there's also a challenge. The grace is this. God is with us. He is our shepherd, and we have everything we need. He makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. That is the grace. And here's the challenge. Figure out how to let goodness and mercy follow you. How in the midst of these challenges you can become a blessing to someone else. Whatever else happens, however big the numbers get each day, those who've tested positive and those who've died, we can't let that be the whole story. We can't let that define our day. God is with us. He will make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside the still waters. He will restore your soul. You have everything you need, so be a blessing to someone. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wherever you go, let goodness sprout. Let mercy sprout. Let other people be blessed because you passed by. If your gift is music, Do an online concert. I'm probably going to do one of those soon. If your gift is baking, bake something for someone. If it's knitting, knit something for someone. If it's empathy, send a card to someone. But don't get stuck in the fear and this disorientation. Allow God to reorient you, to calm you, comfort you, and become a blessing to someone else. It's like Jesus putting mud on the eyes of blind Bartimaeus and giving him sight. Before that, he just sat and begged. After Jesus opened his eyes, he became a preacher, telling everyone about Jesus. They couldn't get him to be quiet. Now we see. Now our eyes are opened. So let's us, each one, be a blessing. I want to close with this. This is in your bulletin that is at trinitypresslbg.com. That's where the bulletin is. And I want you to be, you're going to probably want to have this and want to print this out. You may have heard it this week. Last week, a Franciscan priest in Ireland wrote a poem that's been shared widely. But it's worth repeating, and I'm going to close with this one. And it's at the bottom of your bulletin. It's called Lockdown. Yes, there's fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there's tragedy. Tragically, even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds again. They say that after just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but blue and gray and clear. They say that in the streets of Assisi, people are singing to each other across empty squares, keeping their windows open so that those who are alone may hear the sounds of family around them. They say that a hotel in the west of Ireland is offering free meals and delivery to the housebound. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her number through the neighborhood so that elders may have someone to call on. Today, churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples are preparing to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, the weary. All over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbors in a new way. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality, to how big we really are, to how little control we really have, to what really matters, to love. So we pray and we remember that, yes, there is fear, but there does not have to be hate. Yes, there is isolation, but there does not have to be loneliness. Yes, there is panic buying, but there does not have to be meanness. Yes, there is sickness, but there does not have to be disease of the soul. Yes, there is even death, but there can always be a rebirth of love. Wake to the choices you make as to how to live now. Today, breathe. Listen behind the factory noises of your panic. The birds are singing again. The sky is clearing. Spring is coming, and we are always encompassed by love. Open the windows of your soul, and though you may not be able to touch across the empty square, sing. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to see that you're with us, that you are our shepherd, and that you are giving us nurture and restoring our souls. We pray that you would help us to become a blessing to other people, that goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.